Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. Pre-season has started and the regular season is just a sniff away. But as always, there's still plenty of NBA to talk about. We'll be talking about Kyrie Irving's potential free agency plans, whether LeBron will find the pace of the Lakers difficult to fit in, and whether we'll be seeing Anthony Davis in a Lakers jersey next season. We'll be talking Tristan Thompson's losing his mind and hard nipples. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another off-season edition of Just Ball Things. Not quite off-season, pre-season, I guess. With me today from the sunny, I guess it would be sunny, wouldn't it? Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, Jack Manuel, J-Man. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Toronto, Vietnam, Los Angeles, London, Australia. JBT's gone worldwide, buddy.
Manchester. We did one in Manchester.
Oh, we did do one in Manchester.
Yes.
Holy crap, we've done this thing in a lot of places.
Yes, we have. It has been quite the enjoyable... quite the enjoyable experience. My name is Nick Busink, as you all may know. And we are, indeed, celebrating some important things, both in my personal life and my... Professional life, if you want to call this, because we are celebrating our two year anniversary of JBT.
How are people? Why do people listen to us for 2 years?
It is an enigma wrapped in a mystery, mate, or mystery vice versa, whatever. Doesn't matter. I am also celebrating 6 years with my lovely girlfriend today.
Oh, that's pretty cute.
That is, pretty decent haul there.
Obviously, we know what the more important anniversary is.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. That's why I'm on this podcast today and not with her.
True. Chelsea, we hope you're listening. We know you're not. None of our friends and family actually do listen to this podcast.
We don't do it for them.
We do it for
screw the friends and family. They can get stuffed. We do it for the real fans.
Well, Heiser listens, apparently. He's pointing to himself. So we have one friend that listens to us. Thanks, Magus.
we appreciate you. We appreciate the listens. We do. Because not even our own friends and family can tolerate us. So you must be some very special people who have stuck with us for 2 years.
Yes,
so.
Thank you to everyone. And we're going to continue to push you with the Busy Manuel scale, even though you still probably don't understand it. Because we don't either, because we skip it half the time.
You're not wrong there, mate. So for those of you who are new, this is a JBT scale created by us. Essentially has four stages: alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact, depending on how likely things are to happen in the league. Let's get started. Preseason has preseason is well upon us. It's been two days now, I think, maybe 3 days of preseason games. So we have seen the return of Gordon Hayward, and there was an interview with himself and Kyrie Irving discussing Kyrie Irving's free agency plan. So we've got a video here. We'll take a listen.
Who wouldn't want to be part of that, honestly? Because the future is very, very bright in Boston, and you know, even if I ever tried to think about that thought of going elsewhere, it'd be like, what are you thinking? We're pretty effing good here. Like, we're pretty effing good for not just this year, but for years to come. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Pretty effing good, Jack.
Sounds like he's describing our podcast.
I mean, naturally. So, the question I pose to you, mate, is Kyrie Irving is not going anywhere in free agency. I mean, if you take his words sincere, he makes valid points as well. We all know he's a very well-educated man.
Yeah, the flat earth, man. Yeah, his scientific theories are on point.
So he's very sound in the logic department. Mate, alternative fact, what are you getting? What are you giving this one? Is he going anywhere?
Yeah, look, if you're going by what Kyrie says, he's almost giving us a straight-up fact. Mm. Now, I'm not sure how much I buy into it because a lot can change in 12 months. We saw what happened with Jimmy Butler. Mm. Obviously, he was barely with the Minnesota Timberwolves for 12 months. I think it was only like 6 months or so. So I'm going to give it a wiki because I can't give it a full fact. And if I'm basing it off, you know, what Kyrie's telling us and we believe what he's saying, you know, he loves to speak his mind. We know that about him. He's an open book of sorts. And, you know, obviously the status around him. During the week, there was also, like, we'll actually talk a little bit about this piece as well. With Jackie McMullen of ESPN, she sort of interviewed Kyrie and asked him a lot of different questions. And he was talking about everyone was buying into the Jimmy Butler and Kyrie teaming up thing. And he said he hasn't even spoken to Jimmy Butler about that. So for me, this is a wiki, Nick, and I think Boston Celtics fans around the world will be pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving this one, pretty much a straight up fact. I mean, why would you leave his whole qualm? I guess qualm.
Yep.
Qualm. That one.
Qualm.
It sounds like palm. You know, the palm of your hand, or a palm tree. He's not going anywhere. He would be crazy to, like you said, to leave the Celtics and just how well set up they are at the moment. He left Cleveland to lead a team. He's now leading a team with a significant better roster, better front office, and better future than the Cavs. And he won a championship with the Cavs, granted, with LeBron. But if he can sort of channel the essence, he can definitely do the same thing at Boston and be very successful there for many, many years to come. So, if it's in the best interest of his career, then he will not be leaving. I mean, if there's, you know, it could be quarrels with staff. A lot of Qs, QQQ. With staff, with coaches, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it could happen. And that can, same thing that happened with Jimmy Butler. The relationship between him and Tibbs, not so good. I mean, anything can happen, but the first year went smoothly, few injuries, but were managed very well. So I think you got nothing to worry about there. Boston fans, so that's is an alternative fact for me.
Forward to that Jackie McMullen piece, Nick. So if you're on the dock, scroll down a little bit.
Yeah, okay, right.
From a piece with Jackie McMullen, as I was referring to earlier, Kyrie Irving said Boston can beat Golden State in a 7-game series. Killers. How much credence do you give to Kyrie Irving's opinions on their chances in the finals? Most people will be doing our preview pod in the next, you know, week to 10 days, and we'll be picking our finals contenders and nominees. But what do you think of Kyrie's thoughts? Can they take down the behemoth in the Bay?
I am going to answer your question
with a question. Of course you are.
If you were to ask John Wall if the Wizards can beat Golden State in a 7-game series, what would he say?
Oh, well, John Wall would say that
Of course they can. If you were to ask Russell Westbrook whether they can take down the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series, do you think he would say it?
Well, okay.
Of course he would, Jack.
But that's not the question, Nicholas.
He is going to say this. Whether they can? No, I do not think they can.
Really?
Golden State Warriors are otherworldly, mate, and they just added Boogie.
Yeah, but, like, is Boogie going to be healthy by then?
It doesn't matter if he is.
But I'm a bit higher on Boston than most because
I love Boston, but this is an otherworldly Golden State team.
But lots of things can happen by April, May, June, Nicholas, and I think with Boston, they proved last season without their two biggest superstars that they can still prove it on the big stage. Their depth is going to come in very handy during the regular season so they can manage their stars when needed. Golden State Warriors don't have that luxury. Their depth, I think,
they have the luxury of not being able to try at all in the regular season. Their rest is their regular season.
That's true. That's a fair point. But, you know, I'm giving this a Twitter fact because I think to give it an alternative completely buying into, you know, the entire bandwagon of what's happening in Golden State. And yes, obviously, we know the storyline that's happening right now. You mentioned Boogie. They're essentially the Monstars, but they'll actually win. So I think that it's a Twitter fact because I give Boston a chance. You know, I give, you know, even Toronto a chance or Philly a chance. Like, you know, anything can happen in the finals. We don't know if KD's going to, you know, suffer an injury. Draymond could, like, you know, kick a couple of other people in the balls by then.
Okay, but then anyone can take down the Warriors if you're going to, you know. A plane could crash on the way to, like, hopefully not. But
no, I know what you're saying, Nick.
Like you can't. With the teams as they are now, you play them in a 7-game series and Golden State win.
If you're playing them as they are now, Boogie isn't healthy, dickhead. So
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Gordon Hayward's played one game in a year. It's the same thing. Kyrie Irving's coming back from an injury.
So you've just like basically flipped the topic on its head and saying that it has to happen.
No, I'm saying full teams at full strength.
Look, I said it says can beat Golden State. Will beat Golden State?
You're living in the world of hypothetical.
Well, you also said that, like, Russell Westbrook... All right, I'm going Twitter fact. What are you going before we move on?
Alternative fact. They will not beat both... I mean, an even-keeled series. Both teams as they are. Well, not as they are, but full strength. No. The Golden State are too monolithic.
September 30, 4:47 a.m. in London, 10:48 a.m. in Vietnam, 1:48 p.m. In Melbourne.
What about in Tanzania? For our Tanzanian listeners.
We do have a couple in Africa. But Nick, Anthony Davis is Lakers bound following his signing with Clutch Sports, the agency headed by LeBron's close friend, Rich Paul. Obviously, this happened a little bit earlier in the week, a little bit of talk about it, but we'd be remiss not to speak about ourselves. What are your thoughts on this news surrounding the Pelicans superstar?
I mean, I don't know if I buy into the whole, he's, you know, his agent is the same as this guy's agent. So
yeah,
I think that's a bit of a stretch. I'm sure there's an impact, but I mean, it wouldn't be the fact that he has signed with this agent. It would be the fact that he's playing for New Orleans that he leaves. Yeah. Like, he would have had enough of the small franchise. Like, being the number one is great, but it's not giving him any rings. It's not giving him any, you know, fanfare. Whereas if he comes and, you know, is a number two behind LeBron, but still is an effective, like, 35-point scorer, then, you know, you get championships through that. So that would be the reason he signs.
Look, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually do agree with you, my friend. Rich Paul's client list, like, he's not going to be joining Costa Koufos in Sacramento. Like,
exactly, yeah.
And, like, John Wall, Ben Simmons, all those guys on the list. Yes, you can look into and nitpick it somewhat, but, like, you know, there were podcasts doing, like, one-hour bits on the fact that, you know, he's going to be joining the Lakers because it's the same client list. Mm. But, like, it's Rich Paul's job to develop a wealth of clients from all around the league that benefit him and his company and, you know, give him the most money available. And, you know, Anthony Davis is set to most likely sign the Supermax with the Pelicans. They'll at least offer it. Like, it'd be crazy if they didn't. And most players, if not all, my memory serves me right, have taken it. You know, Russell Westbrook, John Wall have been both offered it and they've both taken it. Johnny enough, another client of Rich Paul. Is he going to join the Wizards, Nick? Anthony Davis, the Wizards.
I mean, he's with Keith and Wall. I mean, who knows?
But yeah, I think the more interesting fact about this is, like you mentioned about the fanfare, I think we're going to see Anthony Davis in a few more commercials. We're going to see, because he is one of the rising stars in the league. And you mentioned, like, you know, number two to LeBron. One day he could usurp LeBron. That could happen this season. Yeah. He might win MVP. But speaking of the Lakers will find it difficult maintaining their pace next season with the acquisition of LeBron. Now, lots of people there's Lakers news every single day of the week. And funnily enough, it's not surrounding LeVar these days. So it's kind of nice to talk about basketball when it comes to Los Angeles. But Nick, what are your thoughts on the Lakers maintaining their style of play despite adding LeBron, who is, you know, known across his history not to necessarily push the pace, so to speak.
Yeah, there'll definitely be quite a few possessions where he'll bring the ball up and slow it down. But if he's got, I mean, it's pace is a funny thing in that one person can dictate the play. So if LeBron's bringing the ball up, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to take early shots in the shot clock. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not, you know, if anyone's going to find a quick pass or an open player, it's going to be LeBron James. You know, the amount of down, even LeBron plays at pace with the long, you know, like touchdown type chucks passes from Kevin Love.
Half court.
Yeah, yep. And even the ones that he's doing himself. Lonzo Ball has that same level of vision. So as long as they get runners down the court, I have no issue that LeBron is going to adjust his play. He may not necessarily be pushing his own pace, but if it means that he pushes the ball up through passing quicker, he can conserve his energy that way, and the Lakers can keep their frantic, I guess, style.
Yeah, I think I buy into what you're saying there a little bit, mate. I think last season, I think it was during the playoffs, during the Pacers series, there was some stats coming out that LeBron plays at the slowest individual speed for a player because... Mm. You know, we saw him sort of taking possessions off, getting back on defense. The transition defense wasn't necessarily his strong suit. But I think he is buying into this sort of new style of play headed by Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, and obviously being implemented by LeBron and Walton. Obviously, if you want to think of LeBron as a sort of co-coach, so to speak, Rondo's probably in that similar vein. Hmm. Last season, the Cavs were 12th in pace, so they weren't necessarily slow by any means. The season before, when they won the championship, they were 15th in pace. It's not that LeBron plays, you know, a very lumbering style
of play. It's more highlighted in the playoffs.
His individual speed.
Well, the playoffs. I'd like to see the splits for regular season pace to playoff pace because I feel like the Cavs completely changed. I mean, they won their championship by grinding and slowing the pace down. Like, they would have been getting a 90 pace, you know?
Yeah.
Something ridiculously slow.
And I mean, it makes sense. The pace slows down in the playoffs as well. But obviously, it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to see this sort of new fangled style of play that the Lakers are sort of trying to implement in terms of, obviously, they don't have a ridiculous amount of spacing, but they're trying to push the ball a little bit. The Pelicans did it last season. You know, in the playoffs, we sort of saw them switch their style of play when they lost Boogie to that Achilles injury. And it certainly worked for them, especially against the Portland Trailblazers. So we'll see how it works. I'm excited for it. They're obviously going to be one of the must-watch teams going forward. But
at the end of the day, just with a final thought, at the end of the day, if you've got good shooters on your team, then your pace will be high. Because
they've okayed passes, but the shooting, I think, remains to be seen unless we see, you know, Lonzo Ball's newfound strength give him more, and it looks okay. But before we do move on, we should probably grade it on the scale. So I'll give it an alternative fact. I think that they won't find it that difficult. I think they'll be able to maintain the pace. Like you mentioned, there'll be possessions, there'll be games where it'll change, but I'm an alternative fact on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pushing it the same. I don't think you'll find it difficult to adjust to any sort of play that he does. He's got such a transcendent play style in his vision, and that can really adapt to anything. So I'm not sure that he's got a problem with that.
I'm down. Yeah, Nicholas, we've got some sound bites for the next one. Some TMI soundbite. So if you're not a fan of some TMI, then tune away for the next 20 seconds or so.
So, Enes Kanter's last week was making headlines, I guess, and sort of a bit of a stir in his comments about playoff basketball. Let's take a listen.
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
Yeah, all right. So, good on you, Enes. I think we've got a perfect soundbite for this one.
Hard nipples.
And there we go.
how long have you been waiting to do that? Like, it's been 2 years and you've finally been able, like, I don't,
it is on, it's up. One of my favorite South Park episodes. with the ladder to heaven. It is tremendous, and that is a tremendous line. And the funniest part is they interview him again. In the episode, they interview the same guy. It's just, it's like, anyway.
Season 22 of South Park, now back, Comedy Central, you know, jump on board as a sponsor. We'll give you guys plenty of credence for South Park. We are big fans. But Nicholas, the thought of playoff basketball is arousing for my Nets as Ennis, remember we did that whole
Ennis Kanter.
Ennis Kanter reiterated with his Knicks. Listen, I think that was season one or early season two for us, guys. So if you want to listen to that episode. But for me, this is a fact.
It's a fact. Playoff basketball is exciting stuff.
Were you aroused when you found out the Wizards made the postseason?
I mean, it's a very quick boner kill to see them lose in emphatic fashion. it can work as an aphrodisiac. It can also work as an anti-aphrodisiac.
It's been a long time since my Nets have made the playoffs, and there's some mild rumblings that they will make it. And it's I'm not going to go too explicit because I'll leave that to you, Nicholas. We need to have one sort of clean host on this podcast. So let's just say that I'm excited by the thoughts of playoff basketball for my Nets, as I'm sure Nick is for his Wizards. But it's obviously a lot more likely for Knicks. But a man and a team who might have reason, but who is deluded in his thoughts that they still are a contender. Tristan Thompson's cheating ways. He'd been doing Chloe wrong in the KKK. Have caused him to lose his goddamn mind, Nicholas. In relation to this, play the sound for the listeners so they have
some. We've got some sound. Let's play it.
We're still a four-time Eastern Conference champion. So until you take us down from that, teams ain't got much to say. Boston, Philly, they ain't got much to say. Boston had home court game 7, lost. Philly, you guys almost got swept. Toronto, we really know that story. So until someone takes us down, not much they can really say.
Well,
what?
Tristan.
What?
Mate.
TT.
What are you spouting? No. So, has Tristan Thompson lost his mind, mate? I mean, he's right. I mean, they haven't proved anything yet. And similarly, Cleveland have not been shit yet. It's a waiting game, Jack. So, I mean, to that extent, I guess he's got a point. But you need to stop living in the past, mate. You need to face what you are, and it's going to be a lottery team.
Yep, and he's going to be breaking up with Khloe Kardashian soon, so he's going to say goodbye to the Hollywood lifestyle, despite his relationship with LeBron. Ben Simmons and your boy, Marcus Morris, have responded. Ben Simmons responded on Instagram, haha, yeah, buddy, see you soon, laughing emoji. Obviously, see you soon. Is Ben Simmons implying that the Cavs are going to be a playoff team? I don't know about that, but Marcus Morris was a little bit more forthright. On Twitter saying, cut it out. Get that vacation ready early this year, fam. Ain't shit going through the Cavs this year. Hashtag facts. Now, if we were doing this based off Marcus Morris's comments, those are hashtag facts.
That is a hashtag fact, yes. Hashtag hard fact. But this man, this Tristan Thompson, whoever he is.
This Tristan Thompson.
This Tristan Thompson character has lost the plot, Jackie.
He certainly has, my friend. But you know, good luck to Cavs fans next year. I'm sneaky on their playoff chances, but we will speak about that in our season preview podcast. That's going to be a bumper episode, guys. Make sure you're tuning in and subscribed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicholas, your favorite host of basketball and sports, Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, buddy.
Our favorite. Big favorite of the podcast. Colin Cowherd, and I quote, "If Jimmy Butler's the best player on your team, you're not going to be playing in late May and June." Thoughts on this one, Nicky boy?
Jimmy Butler's hard. Jimmy Butler is a hard nut to crack because
yes,
everyone is so high. It's like the enigma of Anthony Davis. Yeah, everyone is so high on Jimmy Butler. Everyone's so high on Anthony Davis. Rightly so. They are fantastic players. But without the playoff success, I mean, the Pelicans sort of proved it. They swept the Blazers. That was incredible, you know?
Yeah.
Without that playoff, I don't know, like, stature?
Resume.
Yeah, resume. It's hard to picture Jimmy Butler being on a championship team, you know?
Look,
a couple of years ago, you might have said, like, yeah, he's a superstar, transcendent, blah, 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 blah. Does he, I mean, given the recent quarrels with the Bulls and then this stuff at Minnesota, does he have that attitude? Like, does he have that mentality to get you there? And I think that's something that's a very valid critique on Butler.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to... It's going to be a first for me and you, Nicholas, in terms of agreeing with Colin Cowherd, but I think I have to. Like, you talked about, you know, the playoff resume. You know, when he was with the Bulls and he was that number one guy with, like, Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, they lost to the Celtics in the first round. Last season against the Houston Rockets, he couldn't drag his teammates along to barely... I think they got one win against the Houston Rockets, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they got something. But late May and June, when you're talking about, you know, the big time when it comes to, you know, Boston, Philly to a lesser extent, who are still pretty good. But I don't think that, you know, Jimmy Butler has that stature, like you said. He has the level of play, but obviously he is aging now and lots of people are talking about his injury history. He's 29, going on 30. Is he a number one guy? He is a number one guy on probably 20 teams, maybe even 25. But when it comes to late May and June, when you've got those four or five, six teams, is Jimmy Butler a part of that conversation? Is he a LeBron James? You know, I think Anthony Davis will eventually get there. I think Giannis will also eventually get there. Kawhi Leonard has proven it. So there are, you know, a handful of players in that conversation. Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, to be remiss of me not to mention them, and obviously, you know, Kyrie Irving. So he's probably just outside that. And for OGDBasketball.com, myself and Corey Waldron, with some help from Nick Fay, the site runner, we've got our top 50 coming out, top 50 players, which we've spent a lot of time on, guys. It's taken us a while, so make sure you check that out. That'll be coming out in some coming days. But Nicholas, this one's for you because you are a coach. You are a good coach. You're a proven coach because you've had some success with your teams along the way.
Yep.
Coaches have the biggest effect on players' game when it comes to realizing their fullest potential. Now, this is in relation to Gilbert Arenas's very thought-provoking comments, which Nicholas will play for you.
Yes, we are all over the...
He put the work in where he knows everything I put up. He put the work in where he knows everything I put up is going to go in. Yeah. But as a coach, you can take confidence away from a player. Every mistake you do, take him out. Now you got him second-guessing his talent. You know what I mean? So I always tell coaches, hey, what's scarier, a pit bull on a leash or a pit bull that's walking by himself? Yeah. There's no control on them. There's no control on somebody like Westbrook and Steph. So they're scarier. Yeah. They're scary. No one's holding his talent back. Yeah. So now everything he thought about doing, he's gonna try that shit against you. Yeah. Those are the scariest players to play against. Somebody who's going to get subbed out, like, you know they got talent, but he's going to get subbed out every miss. You ain't worried about him. Yeah. Shit, coach fucked him up. Coach played defense on him. As a coach, you got to let your pit bulls go. Yeah, they're going to fuck up, but you want them to explore their talent.
Yeah, so insightful stuff there from good old Gilly. That's what I'm going to call him now.
Call him Gilly.
I'm going to call him Gilly. and fair enough. I mean, I love the line where, you know, if, like, the coach is subbing him out, like, coach is going to play defense on him. Because that's essentially, like, what is happening. He's 100% correct in that you need to unleash the beast. I mean, this is a massive confidence game, isn't it? We say it all the time, like, a low-confidence player will just get absolutely, you know, crapped on. Whereas someone who is, you know, hit the first couple of shots, they just roll. They just roll and roll. And injecting that level of confidence can be a lot of it on the coach. We see players that move from different coaching spots who can make it work, who have that individual steel about them, whereas others move and can't get into it. They get down for whatever reason at a certain team. They get in a slump. They can't work it out of it because they don't have the mental gall to get themselves over that hump. And it requires a special level of confidence, self-awareness. Generally, it's what being a superstar is. Play yourselves out of slumps.
Yeah. I could listen to you talk about coaching for an entire podcast, Nicholas. It's very fascinating stuff. But I also buy into that fact. You know, you look at sort of, you know, how players thrive now. You talk about the individual themselves, but the coach being able to instill that confidence in them. And, you know, I think Spencer Dinwiddie retweeted this and saying, you know, the green light is the biggest drug you can get. You know, having that sort of free reign from the coach and being able to go, look, you just have to go out there, play your game, play on instinct, which I think a lot of players in the NBA, probably more, and maybe college basketball to an extent as well, are sort of restricted in their sort of games and so having to play through certain systems. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to that rule. Obviously, when you're transcend, for lack of a better term, themselves and just go out there and do your thing. Mm. You know, Kyrie Irving within the Boston system is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know, he still buys into collectively what Boston are doing, but he still does his insane Kyrie Irving, Uncle Drew thing at the same time.
Victor Oladipo.
Yep. Perfect. Another really good one in relation to the coaching staff there. Obviously didn't realize the potential in Orlando, neither so in OKC, where he wasn't really the number one guy, was given that green light in Indiana, goes bang. And, you know, that was the first thing that popped into my mind as well, my friend. But we don't want to spend too much time on this. You know, if you guys let us know your thoughts, you know, if you've had an experience, you know, of this, you know, had a really great coach. I'm sure plenty of Knicks, if any of Knicks players are listening, I'm sure they'll email in soon enough. But you were complaining last week, Nicholas, that there was no Wizards talk, so I thought I'd chuck something for you. You and Wizards fans should be worried about Dwight Howard's back issues. Nicholas, you worried?
I mean, when you're carrying the load that he is on just his shoulders, like his shoulders would be as heavy as my entire body, and I am not a light man. So, I mean, when you're as built as him, and, you know, this comes into play with height as well. Height can be a massive influence on back. I think it is worrying. He's 32. He has a history of back issues. It's concerning. And for someone who's been so high on Dwight Howard,
yeah,
really only since he's come to the Wizards. I don't think I liked him much at the Rockets, but like I was kind of forced into, like, what other choice do I have? I have to be like, he's got to work. Be optimistic. Yeah. It is quite troubling. This is a fact for me. It's definitely worrying.
I'll give it a fact as well. But in terms of, it's not like, you know, to a high level of concern. Like, it's not a long term injury. Like, you know, Lauri Markkanen unfortunately suffered with the Chicago Bulls.
But whether he plays, because it is minor, like you said. But he, given his history, his age, and his physique, he could be playing through constant back injuries the whole time. And if he's playing hindered, then that's not better than Marcin Gortat, a hindered Dwight Howard.
No. But look up a basketball reference, Nick, because I don't have a great internet connection here, about how many games across a few seasons, say for the past five seasons, Dwight has played. Because I'm going to just talk about why I think that this isn't as worrisome as you might say. I think Scott Brooks' comments via the article that I had was saying that, you know, it's just a sort of management issue. You know, obviously, when you are a basketball player, you know, you're obviously going to have lingering issues because you've been playing the game for so long. Like you mentioned, he's 32, playing the game for nigh on 15 years. Obviously, that doesn't count his high school and college career. But, you know, he has been quite a durable player. Last season with the Hornets, and, you know, he put up like 16, 17, and 12.
He only missed one game with Charlotte.
He apparently, if I'm not mistaken, did have some back issues there as well. So I think it's like you're saying, it's about how he manages it. The Washington Wizards training staff, you know, they've had, I don't know, question marks around them. If you want to say something in terms of, you know, Jan Mahimi, you know, Bradley Beal, John Wall, are these, you know, issues related to the performance management team? I don't necessarily think so, but it is a mild worry. So I'll probably give it a wiki fact, a tour fact. But at the same time, I wouldn't be as worried. And, you know, if you do want to hear a bit more in-depth thoughts about the Washington Wizards, Nick and I did do a really fun season preview with the OTG outlet. They've got a really awesome preview series, all 30 teams. Make sure you subscribe to that on iTunes, follow it on YouTube. You know, we're there. You know, it's a really fun series. But another one, Nicholas, because I'm feeling generous today, still on the Wizards. Markieff Morris believes that Boston have never been better than Washington.
Now, I hate comments. I hate comments like this because it just... What are you doing? What good does it do? It only does bad because if it's true, which it's not, but if people think it's true, it's just like, well, you know, you're being overconfident, cocky, rude, etc. Exactly. And if it is not true, which it is not true... It's not true. It is false. Then you just sound like a raging lunatic.
Yes.
Like, what? It does no good to anyone to make comments like this from a team who has underachieved for the past 3 years.
Yeah. And I think underachieving, a lot of that has been because of comments like this from players like Morris Wall, to a lesser extent, Bjelke or Tart. It's them. I think I said it in the outlet preview as well, that the Wizards just need to shut up and let their basketball do talking.
Exactly. Focus on your basketball. Focus on your game. When you maybe become better than your twin brother, then start speaking, Markieff. I mean, I would much rather have Marcus Morris than Markieff Morris. Not a huge knock on Markieff Morris. I still like him. I still love his play. But Marcus is better.
Yeah, ever so slightly. Obviously, you know, they are very similar being twins and stuff. But yeah, I think that this is, it's idiotic comments from him. And I think his brother did comment, and it was just like, I think a Boston reporter asked him at media day, they were relayed the comments. And he's just like, oh, he said that? Yeah, I'm not going to say anything in relation to it. So that's how you respond. Now, Marcus Morris, obviously, we said he came out in relation to the comments that came from Tristan Thompson. Now, those were actual facts. He said it himself. You know, Boston are legitimately, they made the finals, the conference finals last year. So he can back up his opinions and his thoughts and his words with the fact that, you know, they've proven it on the court. The Wizards need to, like, you know, let their finally prove it on the court before they keep chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting. But Nick, I don't want to get you any more riled up, so we'll move on to a different topic. This is via Playoff D Wade on Twitter, and I like this. Markel Fultz will have a better season than Lonzo Ball. Now, this is an interesting one, Nick. What are your thoughts on the comparison former rookies going into their sophomore season?
Well, the similarities being both point guards, both decent. Well, Lonzo is a much better passer, but you know, Markel does not shirk away from a pass. Both have reinvented their shot, more or less. But who's playing under a better system? Who's playing under a better? Because who's going to get more opportunities? You know, that all comes into account when we're talking about rookies. The more exposure you have, the better you tend to be. Will Lonzo Ball have the same level of exposure, I guess, as Markel Fultz? I don't know. I think they'll try to emigrate Markel Fultz a lot more into like a starting rotate, like we want you in a playoff team,
sort of
feel. So they'll try to emigrate him as quickly as possible, give him as many opportunities as he can. Considering how similar LeBron and Lonzo play, I'm not sure that Lonzo's going to get given the same opportunity. So, I mean, it's not a crazy take. I mean, I would tend to agree with it. Give it a Twitter.
Yeah, I'd probably
not give a Twitter, it a Twitter or a Wiki. Wiki is higher. Yeah, I'll give it a Wiki.
I always cop out and give it a Twiki, so I'll probably do the same thing again. Partly because Lonzo's injury, you know, I predicted on the Lakers preview pod that I did with the OTG outlet that Rondo would start, and I was, you know, laughed at. But, you know, they've said due to Lonzo's recovery from injury, that Rondo is going to start the season, obviously in the preseason games as well. So I think right now it's hard to predict because we don't know Lonzo at his fullest. You talked about his shot. It looks a little bit cleaner, a little bit smoother. There is still the hitch in it, but it is effective. And as long as it's effective, then that's what matters. I don't agree with the fact that Lonzo and LeBron can't mesh well together. I think that they'll be great together. I think that they'll get the ball zipping and moving like there's no other. And I think if LeBron's playing in the post a little bit more, I think Lonzo is a really nice post passer. So, and obviously Markel Fultz, we saw some very, very minor flashes from that preseason game against our Melbourne United. We saw a nice little pull-up jumper, Ben Simmons finding him in with some cuts and stuff. So the signs look promising. We talked about on some previous pods as well about the fact that his trainer thinks he has the potential to be an all-star this season. And he's already starting ahead of JJ Redick. So he's been given that opportunity, like you said, Nick. So I mean, I don't disagree, but it's a really hard one to debate. We could almost spend an entire podcast on it. Let us know your thoughts, guys. I might even actually put this on Twitter. I think this would be a good one to hear the votes and see what OGD Basketball and the rest of people say. Because we might revisit this throughout the season. But Nicholas, you got the play button ready again for me, my friend?
Yes, yes, I do. We've got another sound bite. Jack has been hard at work, making sure that I am hard at work during the podcast. We'll pose. We'll listen to his comment. We'll listen to his comment. So this is.
You give
the context, mate. You give the context.
Context is obviously required a lot of the time, as it is here. So this is via the Game Theory podcast, and they said that the Celtics should bring Gordon Hayward off the bench to start the season. Now, here's some comments from Media Day, Gordon Hayward, in terms of his recovery from injury and how he's approaching the season upcoming.
I think more than anything, I'm going to follow the progression that the staff has set out for me. I think whatever that is, if it's, maybe taking certain days off or rest days or whatever, I haven't necessarily talked with them yet on how that's going to work. But first, I'm going to follow that. But secondly, once they tell me I can go and do whatever, I'm just going to go at it full speed. I think that's what I have to do. I have to just, jump right into it. I think there's going to be, hiccups along the way. There's going to be things that, I'm going to get beat defensively. I'm going to make a mistake offensively. And I think when you don't play basketball for a year, like, those things happen. And that's the part that I have to find my rhythm, find my groove a little bit. And I think the pickup games that we've had have been good for that. There's still only been like 4 or 5 times I've played. So preseason, coming into the season, like, I'm still going to be trying to find my way a little bit, and I think that's fine, but I'm going to have to go at that and just attack it.
Okay. So yes. Insightful stuff from Gordon Hayward. He's very well spoken.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
A handsome man.
He is a handsome man. Wood plow.
that's gonna be the name of the episode.
No, I've already got the name of the episode. So you wait and see. Wait, I wrote it down. I've got my pen in my hand. My desk is scrawled with previous episode names.
It's like 70.
What the hell does that say? Pardon my French. I've got Moist One. Break That Monkey. I've got. Backdoor Shenanigans. There's that one. I mean, it's all written all over my desk. It is terrible desk.
What are your thoughts on Hayward anyway, though, Nicholas? His comments.
Should Hayward come off the bench? No. He is a starting rotation player caliber, so you need to treat him like a starting rotation player with that caliber. English is hard. You need to inject that confidence. I mean, we talked about it more as soon, and he mentioned it himself. As soon as he gets the okay, he is just going to go ham. And that is exactly what you should do. He needs to get back up to game speed. He needs to get back into the right mentality. And you need to give him all the confidence and all the opportunity in the world to get there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, is the preseason, the three preseason games and whatever scrimmages they have, during training camp, going to be enough to get Gordon in that sort of, back into that sort of all-star caliber player? I don't necessarily think he's going to be at that, his highest level early on in the season. So it's not that I would necessarily be against it. So I'm not giving it this a fact or in any sense. I don't think he should come off the bench. But I give it a little bit of credence with the Twitter because they have the deep enough rotation. And I think I've spoken this, can't remember if it was on this podcast or in an article or whatever, but Boston have the luxury of having so much depth at their disposal that they can easily, you know, if Gordon Hayward doesn't start, they can put in another wing at their disposal and just go, bang, we'll just chuck you in. You know, we can play two guard lineups with Terry Rozier at the two instead.
But a bench player doesn't mean that you play. Like, if he starts, it doesn't mean he plays 38 minutes. So this is the important thing. Like, he needs to play against their players' best players to get back up to speed. He needs to start. Because he will definitely be on a minutes restriction. 100%.
Yeah.
You can't overwork him. But he needs to get back up to speed with, you know, like, these are the players he's going to be playing in the playoffs, which is the end goal. Need him to be 100% ready for playoffs.
But, yeah, devil's advocate, Nicholas, can you not just do that 10, 15 games into the season? Can't you just not do it then when, you know, Gordon Hayward, we're talking about confidence in relation to coaching and instilling that in terms of if he's coming up against, you know, second units in the Eastern Conference, it's going to give him all the confidence in the world to sort of see the basketball, you know, go in the net, and he's going to be coming up against, you know, lesser competition than guys like Ben Simmons and the like. So on the flip side, would that not also have a positive effect on his game and his recovery?
I mean, if he is not recovered now, then you don't play him. I mean, if you're playing him with a minutes restriction, which is obviously you have to do recovering from an injury, you don't want to overwork him. But what's he going to gain from playing against bloody Joe Blow, second string Kings player?
I just said confidence.
No,
confidence.
Confidence. You'd think if he goes and schools a 18-year-old high school kid in the bloody in a gym, you reckon that gives him confidence? No.
Yeah, look,
once he scores on the likes of Jimmy Butler, once he scores on the likes of Kawhi Leonard, be like, I can do this. And he needs to play with, not only against the first team caliber players, but he needs to play with his first team players to get that gelling process starting.
Yeah, look, I posed it because, you know, we try to maintain a balanced view at JBT, but I agree with your thoughts there, Nicholas, but I can also see both sides, but I am leaning towards. I'll go to Twitter. Are you alternative with this?
I am most definitely alternative with this, yes.
Yeah, okay. A couple more, guys, and we don't speak about these teams much, so if you are a fan of teams like the Magic, the Detroit, and Portland, stay tuned. Danny LaRue of... He'd rather have the Magic roster ahead at his disposal than the Cavs. Thoughts, Nicholas?
Well, the Cavs are in... I mean, LeBron really screwed the Cavs, didn't he?
Ever so slightly.
I mean, I really, really love Aaron Gordon. I think he's made leaps and bounds on that Magic roster. And the Cavs have, you know, Tristan Thompson.
They also have. You know, I think if you're talking about, you know, the talent and, you know, overall roster construction, I'm not going to give it a. In fact, I might give it a fact. Why not? I'm going to stop sitting on the fence for once in my life, which is very strange for me. But, you know, you look at Mohamed Bamba, you look at Jonathan Isaac, and Aaron Gordon, like you mentioned. Those are three cornerstone pieces right there. How they mesh, obviously, you know, your three best players are power forwards and centers. You know, obviously, you don't want to play them out of position. Obviously, it's going to be interesting to see how Steve Clifford, you know, maintains and sort of fits things there in Orlando. I think that Orlando still have a lot of holes in their roster, still lacking a really starting level caliber point guard. You know, there are certainly issues, but going forward, yeah, I think this is a fact. I would rather have the Magic roster because the Cavs have J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, like you mentioned, Kevin Love, who is aging but is still effective. But and they're young stars,
George Hill,
Jordan Clarkson. Yeah, all these guys are, you know, past their prime, and the Magic are only have a nucleus of players that are reaching. And you know, if you want to chuck in Colin Sexton, where does he rank alongside Bamba, Gordon, and Isaac? I think he'd probably be third in that list at best. You know, he's probably a little bit better than Isaac, maybe, but it depends on what you value. But I think that, you know, Gordon has already proven it, and I think lots of people are high on Bamba. We'll see how he goes.
I mean, I think even Evan Fournier is an underrated piece for the Magic. Yep. Yeah, he's very good. Like you said, the youngsters in the two Jonathans.
Yep.
The Jonathan duo. Aaron Gordon as well. Like, they're just better equipped than the likes of, you know, your 38-year-old roster in George Hill, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love. You know, like, they're so old.
They are very old, Nicholas. But age doesn't necessarily mean you're bad, Nicholas. No. Because, we are all aging, but we aren't going to get all existential on you guys. We talk about basketball on this podcast, not life. If you want to... that philosophical shit, head somewhere else. But
if you want to talk about life, you should hit up our sister podcast, Just Life Things, JLT.
We should start one. Why not? Damian Lillard's reasoning for breaking reported news is completely justified, Nicholas. Do you want to read the comments? Because I can't really open the link. I don't want to accidentally drop out of the Hangout. I'll give it context while you open up the Bleacher Report article.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a lot of players who were sort of dropping news throughout the off season about reporters changing outlets. So guys like Sam Amick going from USA Today to The Athletic, you know, all these really famous, well-known basketball reporters, you know, changing from ESPN and to other avenues, and Jordan Schultz joining ESPN. All these were dropped by players like, you know, Lillard and his teammate CJ McCollum. And I really like the reasoning behind it. Nicholas, have you got it there for you?
I do have the quote.
Give it to me, my friend. All right.
So, speaking with Amick, Lillard explained how he saw the situation, which you explained before, as an opportunity to essentially put a reporter in the shoes of a professional athlete. All right. So, his quote was, "It was just a case of putting the shoe on the other foot. I think there's a lot of stuff that we go through as players, or a story might come out that might have a little bit of truth, but somebody adds to it. Or put their own spin on it, or whatever. We don't have a chance to say, no, I don't want that to get out. Yeah, it happened, or yeah, that's accurate, but I don't really want that story to be told at the moment. I don't want to have to deal with that right now. Our situation is not considered a lot of the times, so that was kind of what it was. Just to put people on their toes, because I started getting a lot of messages about people, about media moves."
Yeah.
Yeah. Fully justified. Fully, like, it's a nice lesson in empathy, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think that this was awesome by Damian Lillard. One of my favorite players and one of my favorite thinkers in the NBA. We talked a little bit about Kyrie and sort of his different mode of thinking, but Damian Lillard is another really sort of the personality. I just really vibe with him, and you know, his thoughts are very well measured and considered. And in terms of, you know, the basketball players go through so much in terms of a very whirlwind comes to the free agency and such. And
yeah, I mean, this is a good opportunity for him to realize what it's like to be, you know, have the shoe on the other foot. So, well spoken, Jackie, but I think that just about does it for another week. So, just as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can always catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. We are endeavouring to go on Spotify, so bear with us. Do a solid, leaving a rating review helps out a bunch. You can contact us at the J-Man JBT or at JBT Nick is myself. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball. You can read a whole bunch of awesome NBA articles written by Jack and heaps of other fire content as well. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things. You'll find us there. JBTpodcast@gmail.com is our email link. So we'll read the emails out on the show if you send us any. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.